Nah, I would have hit you right in the chest. I would have hit you right in the chest. Turn it. Turn it. Nope, I would have hit you right in the chest.
Hello, my name is Kevin Peoples. I coach the Edges. You know, first of all, I think it's the history and the great atmosphere, the fan base here at LSU.
Let's freaking go. Tonight, I am sharing with you our assistant coach audit. A lot of you have already seen it on Patreon. And look, go sign up today. You should. I believe the one coach who improved his stock the most was Kevin Peoples this past season, as Braden Swenson had a season to remember at LSU. And obviously you saw the improvement in Savion Jones. You saw the improvement in Deshaun Womack. You saw the improvement overall on our defensive line. So to a certain degree, you show some love for Bo Davis as well. And now that he's got more of his guys in with five new defensive tackles, including what he coached at Texas, which made the college football playoff, you're really excited about the future of LSU defensive line. And look, you saw Kevin Peoples talking about the history of LSU football. You see that this means a lot to him. Obviously, he used to coach at Tulane. He's also coached at Arkansas, came over from Missouri. So you see he's really passionate about the history of the defensive line position. And I'm a defensive line nerd. I play defensive line myself. So I am really freaking excited about that position. And look, I don't know if I could say the same about all the assistant coaches. So what I need you to do, if you're watching this live right now, if you're watching this down the road, comment below. Which assistant coach disappointed you the most? So we'll go through each and every one of them at the beginning as we say hi to Sherry Berry, we say hi to Christopher, we say hi to Cole. Now, we start off on the offensive side of the football, and the truth is you can make a very strong case that every single offensive assistant fell below expectation. I don't think any of them had an atrocious year outside of maybe Joe Sloan and doing the single most important thing your assistant coach does, which is, of course, call plays, in particular offensive plays. Joe Sloan obviously did not live up to expectations, but that is somewhat expected. You know, there was a lot of us that felt skeptical about Mike Denbrock, who was a Broyles Award finalist and now in the college football playoff, you know, handing it over to a young coach like Joe Sloan. But hopefully he'll get better. What I would say, though, is overall Garrett Nussmeier was very good this season. Now, the tight ends coach, Slade Nagel, is out. You can make a strong case for the offensive side of the football under Cortez Hankton being very good. The only issue with that is a lot of the younger high school coordinators or high school players just did not really turn into anything. But I do think Cortez Hankton is still one of the best wide receiver coaches in the country and will be a future head coach at some point. And then, of course, you have Frank Wilson. This was a tough year overall, I feel, for the LSU running back room, in particular for Caleb Jackson. And obviously, we lose Josh Williams, who really played elite football towards the end of the season. Baylor was an amazing game. Obviously, the game versus Vanderbilt will be one that he's always known for. And being an elite tackle breaker, someone that's reliable, is a big deal. One thing I will say is our running back pass protection was very hit and miss. That is pretty normal throughout college football, though, as a lot of running backs are not good pass protectors. And ironically, Caleb Jackson actually graded out pretty good as a pass protector. But of course, he didn't play as many snaps as Caden Durham or Josh Williams. So, you know, it's tough. Obviously, you would have liked to have had a more consistent offense. And we obviously just did a big video on Brad Davis where this LSU offensive line underperformed in a major way. The difference, though, is Brad Davis has done a good job recruiting. And, you know, hopefully the offensive line will be coached up a little bit better next season. And look, a lot of players wanted Brad Davis back. Some incoming recruits were really excited about Brad Davis being their coach. Caris Kern and Solomon Thomas being two of them that have spoken publicly about that. Now we go to the defensive side of the football, where I won't dive too deep into this side of the football outside of Kevin Peoples. Go to Patreon. You can see my full thoughts on Corey Raymond, Jake Olson, and, of course, the $2.5 million man, Blake Baker, who you can make a very strong case is under even more pressure next season than Joe Sloan. So, overall, I felt LSU's assistant coaches were fine. Okay? They were fine. It's not one of those things where any of them were terrible, like you could say about Matt House, who got rid of Jamar Cain, who led the NFL in sacks this year, his position group, the Denver Broncos. So it's tough. We have gotten better with our staff. We were really excited about our staff going into this past season. I am very excited about the future of this LSU staff. But I felt we could have, even though I have said over the past couple of shows, our talent was not where it needed to be. And we just did a Patreon breakdown on this potentially being the least talented LSU squad we have had over the past decade. There's a lot of data that actually backs that up. The truth, though, is I felt this unit could have been coached better. Both units could have been coached better. So you see the poll question, which side of the football do you feel was coached better this past season? Was it the offensive side of the football? Was it the defensive side of the football? And 64% of you actually went with defense. So there you go. Sherry says offensive coordinator play calling was Guitar George, who just joined the PHL Patreon. There you go, Guitar George. Got to get you in the Discord pretty soon. Let's go to Blanche, who says, wouldn't it be hard for Joe Sloan to call plays when you can't run the ball? Yeah, I mean, it is a problem that we just could not establish it. And some of that's on the offensive line. Some of that's on, you know, Garrett. I do think we need to get more creative in our run game. And the ideas that you want to get creative with actually need to start now, because I feel passing concepts can be developed during the season. Run concepts, so I do really think need to be practiced. Normally, the logic is the opposite. But one thing overall, Blanche, that I felt was just off this year for LSU, and this isn't a term that you use quite often in the world of football, but our choreography was off. You know, we normally associate that with dancing, but football is very much a choreography sport, right? It's spacing, it's doing your job. Now, once again, unlike dance choreography where everyone's doing the same movement, think of it like a Super Bowl choreography where there's one group of dancers doing one thing, but then you have all these other side dancers doing different movements. One thing that was very interesting was on defense, we had guys that would run into each other pretty often and missed assignments pretty often. And players offensively scoring against us with relative ease. And then on the offensive side of the football, our run game choreography was a mess. And what I mean by that is the passing off of blocks, the eye candy that gives a defense many things to think about. A lot of defenses were able to attack us downhill. Another thing in terms of choreography, the way you could, you know, phrase it is our deep ball accuracy, our timing with that. So this, to me, is actually the biggest thing. And I had a private conversation with someone that I respect quite a bit in the LSU world. And I will keep this person private because it is very sensitive. I felt, hey, look, Ron O'Q, Anthony, on Facebook. We had issues with our run game in terms of figuring out which holes to run through. Now, I pushed back a little bit because I felt, rewatching a lot of LSU football, that there weren't any holes to run through. But I do feel there were a few opportunities for cutbacks. There were a few opportunities for bounces that we could have done more with. But that's what happens when your most explosive runner is a true freshman. And look, Josh, I think could have done some things better. So when I say choreography, it's basically timing. But when we think of timing, we just think of timing as quarterback throwing to a receiver or quarterback throwing to a tight end. But timing is honestly everything. I think of this play in the bowl game where Baylor had a big play. And part of why they had a big play was JV and Toviano was coming on a blitz. Well, his blitz timing was off because he ran into a corner who was sticking with this man coverage assignment on a motion. Now, this happens. Like, it's hard. But we had a lot of these kinds of things. And it's a problem. It's a problem. Now, obviously, it wasn't as big of a problem in yesteryear because offenses just didn't pre-snap motion as much. But that's one extra thing that we need to do better at. And I know it sounds like somewhat simple, but it's not quite simple when there's 22 people on the field at once, guys run into each other. Okay. So we've got to do a better job. Now, I will still stand by as we are in kind of free fall here, kind of a lull in the news, if you will. We still don't know who the tight ends coach is going to be. Brian Kelly has still not been asked if he is thinking about coaching changes. I think he was kind of asked by Jacques Doucet in his last press conference. I need to go back and re-listen to it. But maybe we're running it back with Joe Sloan next year. I honestly don't know. Sometimes I have inside information. Sometimes I don't. I don't know. But what I will say is it would be nice to have more play calling experience in the building. I understand Cortez Hankton has been interviewed for the Rams offensive coordinator job, I think before last year. But as great of a coach as he may be, I feel it would be nice to bring in someone that has prior play calling experience. I think that would help quite a bit. Okay. So there you go. Now, I want to see. I can't speak directly for LSU, but usually the worst performing unit gets coached the hardest most. We as fans relate good coaching on production, i.e., the D line. Yeah, I'll be honest, man. I think one thing that will be rewarded, and you guys know I'm not rah-rah kind of guy, I think players are going to respect hard coaching more because everybody is just such a player's coach now because players just have so much leverage. I just think hard coaching works. I will tell you this. I felt our best assistant this year, especially relative to expectation, was Kevin Peoples. That's why his head is on the thumbnail. I will also tell you, based on quote-unquote sources, Kevin Peoples coaches really hard. He's not for everybody. He's not everybody's cup of tea. All right? He was damn good this year. All right? There's just no other way around it. Now, did he have some good players? Sure. He had some really good players. Let's go through some of the responses to my tweet from earlier today. Which position coach do you think had a phenomenal year in 2024? Which coach disappointed you the most? As you can see, Brad Davis, biggest disappointment. Lon, friend of the channel, says Bo Davis was impressive. Okay. And he disappointed, he said, Jake Olson. Yeah, you know, I like to be defensive of young coaches, but I was a little surprised Olson got the safety job. I was, especially considering we went the route in the secondary of the young unproven coach with Steeples, and that obviously backfired. Conrad, I love that name, says Brad Davis. And Conrad said Corey Raymond had a good year. Michael says Bowen Peoples. I agree. White Trash Tiger says Bo Davis. And he brings up the running back rotation. Kuyon agrees. Sylvian agrees. I love that name. Bo Davis. So we got some great responses here. Please go follow on Twitter. Cole agrees. Bo Davis. Yeah. I think Bo Davis did a good job as well. Eric says Blake Baker with the linebackers. Devon Keyes did get better. I will say, I'm still concerned with some of the things that happened, but it's also important to note that Devon Keyes played almost every snap from the Florida game all the way till the end. His snaps started getting up there and ahead of Greg Penn and Major Burns and so on and so on. Okay. Jondrick says secondary was not up to our standards, and linebackers seem to pick it up. Bo Davis had an awesome year. Joe Sloan's got to do better. Yeah, I think Joe Sloan's the obvious answer. But I was more so referring to the actual position coaching of position coaching instead of the play calling. So yeah, as you can see, as we float down, most people were saying to the positive, Peoples, Davis, and to the negative, Olsen in particular, Joe Sloan and Brad Davis. Okay, David uses a peach emoji. Okay. So there you go. Now, we dive a little bit deeper into the Corey Raymond, Jake Olsen relationship saga on Patreon. So make sure you sign up. You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. And if you sign up for Patreon right now, I'll cover your first month. Okay? Got to do it during the stream. All right. Link is down below. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about Brian Kelly. Because, you know, we're focusing on the assistants this year. So Brian Kelly built this staff and threw a lot of money at this staff. Part of why I'm doing this is because we do have such highly paid assistants. And we should all want better. And I think they will tell you that they would want better as well. Now, with all these transfers coming in, not every one of these transfers are going to work. Obviously, a lot of guys are coming in from non-SEC schools to SEC schools, and it's just tough for competition. It's a jump up playing ACC Virginia Tech ball and coming in here. And you could argue that our two most important transfers are from Virginia Tech, Mansoor Delaney at corner and Braylon Moore at center. Our team, if both of these commitments don't hit, is in a lot of trouble. All right? They're in a lot of trouble, LSU, if both of those players are not better. Now, why do I say that? Well, think about the percentage chance. If I would have told you before the season that going into the next year, the two guys that will have the biggest impact on the 2025 LSU Tigers, one is a corner, one is a center, and they're both coming from the same school, a 6-7 ACC team. A lot of you would be shivering your timbers. You'd be asking, who is it? Where are they coming from? What program? The ACC? Not the Big Ten? Not the Big 12? The ACC? And if I said it was an ACC player, you'd be, well, is it Clemson? So I say that because I think both of those guys are going to be good players. Their film looks good. It does. It looks translatable. I think Delane would have been drafted in the fourth or fifth round if he would have come out this year. So he should be good enough. If you're good enough to get drafted, you should be good enough to play in the NFL. But keep in mind, while all these transfers make your team have a higher floor, in other words, they're not going to be bad players, you need some of these guys to be studs. Like, you really need some of these guys to be needle movers. So how many of these guys will be true needle movers? there are some guys that I like a lot. And the players that I am leaning towards being those guys for us next year are the defensive ends that we are bringing in particular, Pyburn and Payton. Now, why do I go on this diatribe about transfers? Well, who's the guy in the thumbnail? Kevin Peoples. So you can make a case. This is going to be the best defensive end coaching that they have had. What can these two guys do? I can make a very, very, very strong case that both of these guys can be better than what Savion Jones and Braden Swinson did for us this year. Both of them were very, very, very good players. Patrick Payton has more upside than any of them. You know, it's going to come down if he's fully locked in. Also, Jack Pyburn is a guy that has been dying to play more snaps. It is amazing how few snaps he's played when he's already burned 3 years of his eligibility. He is hungry for the opportunity. Hungry, like I am on this carnivore diet. We need that level of production, all right? I don't care if you're coming from the SEC. I don't care if you're coming from the ACC. I don't care if you're coming from the Big 12. I don't care. Can you play or can you not? But you do feel better about Pyburn, who went up against, obviously, SEC competition. You do feel better about Patrick Payton, who, while he did play in the ACC, he played in a lot of big games. Played against us. Had a few good plays versus us. So, I'm excited. I'm really excited about the defensive end position when it comes to the transfers. So, I say all that to tie it in, of course, with Kevin Peoples. All right. Let's go to Chicago Dogs. He says, as I said before, if Brian Kelly were a national championship caliber coach, he would have won the national championship at Notre Dame. All right. Let's have a conversation about that. First, this will shock you. But just because you win a national championship doesn't mean you're a good coach. That is not an indicator if you're a good coach. I know that sounds stupid, but it's the truth. Go through the national championship winning head coaches. How many of them would you consider to be good coaches? I would say 2 out of every 3 we would consider to be actual good coaches. So, winning a natty doesn't mean you're actually a good coach. As crazy as that sounds. Is Butch Davis a good coach? I guess. Is Les Miles a good coach? Ed Orgeron? What about Jimbo Fisher? I'm waiting. I would like to think Jimbo mostly was good, but we all saw what happened after that. National championships is more about the job than it is the coach. If Ryan Day wins the Natty, I'm not sure if he's still like a great coach. I think I would like to consider him being a great coach. But I do think Ohio State's the best job in America. I do. Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, they're on a different tier than everybody else. Recruiting, job, all of it. Now, I'm not saying winning a national championship isn't impressive. I'm not saying winning a national championship isn't the goal. But just because you didn't do it at Notre Dame doesn't mean anything. Who would you put as a coach of Notre Dame that would have beaten Alabama? Have you ever listened to a Manti Te'o interview since the Alabama game? He literally has said publicly, a linebacker, and we're not talking about a kicker saying this, basically Manti saying, hey, we were shitting our pants before the game. I mean, some teams are just going to win. Okay, it's just how it is. So would Brian Kelly sitting here, if you were to sit right here and look at you in the face and say, hey, should I have won a national championship at Notre Dame? He would say yes. He would say absolutely yes. He would agree with what you said. But I'm not so sure if that's true. There are so many great coaches that don't win natties. And let's be honest, a third of all natties over the past two decades is Saban. All right, if it's not Saban, it's a Saban disciple. If it's not a Saban disciple, it's a former Saban program. One guy. That's why I've always defended Brian Kelly in the national championship. Does he need to win a national championship at at LSU? Well, objectively, yes, because that's the standard. The last three coaches won natties. The last two, most would consider Brian Kelly's better than the last two. LSU's a great job. Louisiana, you guys know the whole spiel. But it's hard. You need a lot of luck. It's almost as much luck, if anything. All right. So, you know, it is what it is. Where I would criticize Brian Kelly, though, is me as a person who is not an end results guy. I don't think I'll ever be just an end results guy. I would say Brian Kelly preaches process. He is a process over results coach. And if you're a process over results coach, you can ask a very legitimate question. Have we been coached good or bad for most of the Brian Kelly tenure? And most of it would probably be in the middle. We would probably be in the middle if we were to grade Brian Kelly's coaching at LSU up to this point. And I also think Brian Kelly were sitting here today, he would say the same thing. Okay? I think any coach that had Jaden freaking Daniels as their quarterback would feel some type of way. Not necessarily about not winning the natty, but not reaching the playoff. Not reaching the SEC championship game. And we technically didn't get to 10 wins with Jane because he didn't play in the bowl game. So, you know, that's obviously going to haunt Brian Kelly for a very long time. But that doesn't mean he can't win one with Garrett or whoever. Michael Van Buren. Devon Keys is thick. Yeah, he is thick, man. He's not the biggest guy, but man, he was good this year. He was pretty solid. Bo says Keys from a numbers standpoint. Yeah, you know, one thing that could happen to Devon Keys happened to another true freshman that played a lot, and a lot of you love him. We'll talk about that right after this. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to guess what? Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com. All right, so I think a lot of you remember Jack Bash, right? And obviously he's going through a lot, and I wanted to talk about Jack tonight. He tweeted out something that his brother, who died tragically in the New Orleans incident, and yeah, I haven't publicly said this yet. My condolences to Jimmy Ott and his family. He lost a family friend in the same incident. But Jack Besh's brother, Tiger Besh, died saving somebody else's life, apparently. And I saw that earlier on Jack's Twitter. But, you know, Jack Besh is one of the best true freshman LSU Tigers ever. But part of his success was because of his role. Right, we didn't have a tight end, and then we just made Jack Besh a tight end, and he was kind of this hybrid. Why I called it 11.5 personnel, or actually 10.5 personnel, or you could do 11.5 actually. But what happened to Jack was Brian Kelly came in, and Jack moved to wide receiver where it's just more crowded. All right, and his kind of hybrid tight end-ish role kind of faded. And then he transferred. All right. So why did I bring that up about Devon Keyes? Well, Keyes played this star, but it wasn't really the star, outside linebacker role. So we went from more of a 4-2-5 personnel to more of a 4-3 personnel. All right. It's somewhat similar, yet different. So why do I say that? Well, you know, Harold Perkins is a guy that could play that role next season. So if he does play that role, then Devon Keyes can't play that role anymore as the Sam hybrid star, whatever, nickel. But Devon Keyes can kick inside and play alongside a Wes Weeks. Could play alongside a Whit Weeks, who I think will be healthy by the start of next season. So as excited as I am for Devon Keyes' true freshman performance, I don't feel anyone has a guaranteed role really at all on next year's defense. I really, really, really don't. You would like to think Patrick Payton and Jack Pyburn and Monsieur Delane for certain are going to play. Epic Shorter, what's good? Yeah, I do not think Devon Keyes will be Devin White. It would be nice, though. He's good. One thing I like about Devon Keyes is his offensive tape in high school was so good. Like, I mean, his running back reps were really, really, really good. Now, they weren't like Harold Perkins good, but they were insane, right? Now, why do I bring that up? Well, guess what? Whit Weeks, his offensive tape is ridiculous. It's absolutely positively ridiculous. Okay. Let me see here. I think Harold Perkins is going to come back with a vengeance. Gene Chizik was top notch. I love it. Mascherano, once Perk is close to the ball. I'm excited. Now, next thing. My thoughts go out to our West Coast PHLers. We have actually quite a few. Sad stuff. The fires. Yeah, we talked about Charles Ross yesterday. You know, there's always this one top 100 player who falls way under the radar because he's quiet. He doesn't have like a boisterous recruitment. So we'll see. Now, here's what I need from you. I need to know, because I said we would dive a little bit deeper tonight in the college football playoff final. Thursday, Friday, this is who I have winning. All right, so what I'll do is I'll pull up the point spreads, all that good stuff for these games this weekend, okay? Do I think we will have an all Big Ten final? No, I do not. I think we won't have a big team in the final. Big Ten team. Give me Texas. Give me Notre Dame. Now, why is that? Well, with the Notre Dame situation, I just don't know if I could trust James Franklin to actually win a big game. I know. What do I mean by that? Well, has James Franklin actually won a game in the playoff this year? I'm serious. I understand Georgia played a backup, but Notre Dame just beat Georgia by 2 scores. Penn State played Boise. Penn State played SMU. Now, I don't know too many people that would have Boise or SMU as a top 12 team in all of college football. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have been in. In particular, Boise definitely should have been in. But Penn State got as favorable of a run-up as you could have asked for. I also feel James Franklin is not as locked in. It always feels there's just something else. He said something today about Notre Dame needing to join a conference, which I agree with. I would like Notre Dame to join a conference. They get a lot of advantages as being an independent. But why in the hell would you even bring that up? That just sounds like something that you bring up after the game. But don't bring it. That's meaningless 24 hours from now. You know how easy it is as Marcus Freeman to motivate your team? And go to your team and say, hey, the other coach thinks you're only here because you're not in a conference. I just don't trust James Franklin here. Do I feel Penn State has the overall better roster? I do. Penn State's got the more talented quarterback. Penn State has a huge advantage in my mind when it comes to their skill guys. Running back, tight end, receivers, I feel slight edge to Penn State, in particular that tight end Tyler Warren. Offensive lines, both groups are pretty good. Defensively, obviously both defensive lines are pretty good. Back sevens, number six for Penn State's good safety. I think Notre Dame has a slight advantage there. I also think Notre Dame's coordinators are better. So give me the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And I got in a lot of trouble for this. It's fine. It's controversial. We should hate Notre Dame on Power Hour LSU. Or should we? I don't know how much I hate Notre Dame. I just feel like it's kind of whatever. I want Mike Denbrock to win. All right, I'm always going to cheer for Mike Denbrock. Okay, he was part of one of the greatest offenses in LSU history. Then we get to this game. Ohio State 6-point favorites. It's down to 5.5. Over-under sitting at 53.5. Obviously, Ohio State better quarterback. Ohio State better receivers. Ohio State-Texas offensive line. Slight edge to Texas. Ohio State better running backs. That's the biggest gap in talent in this game. Defensive line. A push for me. Linebackers. Slight edge for me to Texas. And secondary, I think it's a push. There's a piece of me that wants to give a slight edge to Ohio State. I think Texas has the best corner in this game, but I feel the safeties in this game are just as good as it gets. Now, I bring this up because both of these teams have, or all four of these teams have good safety play. And obviously, we need better safety play. I just think Texas home field advantage in Dallas. I think Ohio State fans won't travel as well to this game as Texas fans for a lot of different reasons, weather being one of them, expenses being another. And look, Texas has not looked as good as Ohio State. I don't think Quinn Ewers is that good. But Oregon secondary was always a unit that you're worried about. Tennessee, I feel, and this is coming from someone that covers Tennessee every week. I said Tennessee every single week was overvalued in some of their results. So I think the side here is Texas, right? As you can see, some sharp money knocking this down a half point here. I'm rolling with the Longhorns here for a Texas Notre Dame finish. I know most have Ohio State making it. But I feel it's just a little too on the nose that Ryan Day finally breaks through. Now, part of why I want Texas to win is I don't know if I could stand another 2019 LSU comparison to this version of Ohio State. I've seen a few from people that get paid a lot more money than me to talk about college football. You cannot, under any circumstance, compare Ohio State that has two losses to 2019 LSU. But Carter, the way they're clicking right now is on 2019 LSU level. Oh, did they put up 63 points on Oklahoma? I guess I missed that memo. Did they put up 39 points on Brent Venables? 42, excuse me. On a Brent Venables coach defense. Like, it's their actual playoff results aren't as good as 2019 LSU's playoff results are. Now, is Jeremiah Smith a better wide receiver than Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase? Knock yourself out with that. Knock yourself out. Obviously, he'll be a better prospect than them, but I don't know. Ja'Marr Chase was as bulletproof of a wide receiver NFL draft prospect ever. Now, obviously, he is way better as a true freshman than those guys were. I don't think anyone would argue to the contrary, but neither one of them played as a true freshman. So not a whole lot. But yeah, I can hear out an argument that Jeremiah Smith is more talented in terms of raw talent, true freshman production than anybody on our offense. I will happily have that debate. And you very well could be right. I mean, Jeremiah Smith really is like Julio Jones. Ohio State's running backs are better than ours. I'll give them that. But come on. The gap in offensive line is there. Now, Ohio State's best lineman, I think, is hurt. And then, obviously, it's a chasm at quarterback. Chasm. Tight ends, it's a wash. Now, here's what we're going to do. Wednesday live streams, you normally like to keep it to an hour. Next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. NFL playoff predictions. I've already dropped my Super Bowl predictions. You can go to Power Hour NFL and see it. I do have Jaden Daniels making the NFC Championship game. So we have a problem. We're going through a crisis right now. So, actually, I'm not going to bring up my personal mess. By the way, I appreciate all the prayers towards my father-in-law. This has nothing to do with it, but I'll bring it up. Why not? So, our dog, Sissy, Z-Baby, she is a difficult dog to cut. And with these multi-poos, you got to cut them a lot. She's too sassy. Okay? So, it causes a groomer, like our groomer closes at 5, but takes him forever to cut. It's 6:50 Central. OSU's running back's better than Clyde. That's why I said running back room. But yeah, I don't know. Blanche versus Super Chant. Why is Perk a better star than a safety? Because he's not a safety. That's just it. He's just not a safety. Which is why he was always this unicorn. Okay, so let's just say, Blanche, that Harold Perkins would be a defensive end or an edge player, the same way that Von Miller or Micah Parsons is. And he got a ton of Micah Parsons comparisons. Let's just say he stayed at that position. He would be in the lowest percentile of size at the next level. Basically meaning that while he has explosiveness and playmaking ability, the likelihood that he becomes TJ Watt or someone like that is small because of his stature. Which is why there's been such a heavy push to him playing off-ball linebacker. Because the highest-paid defensive players in the NFL are the corners and the edge rushers. The guys that get drafted in the first round are the corners and the edge rushers, not the off-ball linebacker. Okay? Safeties rarely get drafted in that spot either. But at this point, we just want to make Perk an effective defensive player. I just don't think it's at safety. I just don't. I think he's a hunter, and I think that style of safety is not extinct. There's still plenty of safeties that fly in and make bone-crunching hits, but it's different, right? There's just so many ways that safeties are manipulated in coverage that it's hard to be a downhill player at safety now. It really is. Okay, especially with the too high revolution that we are in. Now, do most teams, when they show a too high shell, play too high? No, they roll a safety into the box to fit the run. It's a whole different story for a different day. But you know, I could get an actual defensive coordinator in here and get an actual opinion on if he thinks Perk could be a safety. The weird thing is his body type actually fits a safety, a bigger safety's role, right? He could, he's 6 foot and 215, 220. Yeah, this is typical safety size. So maybe Blanche is onto something. Maybe they try him there. Obviously, that would fit a way bigger need for our team. I just don't know if that's his best role. And then obviously, there's plenty on here and plenty out there, including former running backs that think he's a running back. His running back tape is ridiculous. And one thing that I do with my personal grading, is, and it's worked. A lot of this has worked. If you show me that you play both sides of the ball or they use you on both sides of the football in high school, to me, that's normally been a somewhat decent indicator of success. Yeah, it is kind of wild when you think about it. Right? Now, their body compositions are very, very different. But there you go. What's up, Lance? George right on the money. I mean, every 2019 LSU comparison falls short. And with the portal being the way that it is, I just don't know if we're ever going to see it again. And something else about 2019 LSU is, well, the high volume of 2- and 3-star players in that 2017 class that were phenomenal. And those players were the foundational pieces of our team. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was someone in that 2017 class. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, Patrick Queen. Now, he wasn't as lowly rated as those guys, but he was a fringe 4-star. I mean, those guys propelled us forward. And the craziest thing about it, if you want to get really nerdy, if you want to dig 10 toes deep, I didn't look this up for the Chicago Bears, but did you know there are 3 teams from the NFC North in the playoffs? The Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, and the Green Bay Packers. Did you know that all 3 of those teams have 3 players from the class of 2017 crop of Louisiana high school football players that were all ranked outside the top 700 recruits? I will repeat this. The 3 playoff teams in the NFC North, all from the same recruiting class, have 3 big-time players that play for their team that were outside the top 700 as recruits. So Justin Jefferson just went up against one, Amik Robertson, who played at Louisiana Tech, Thibodeau High School, and those two have faced each other a lot, dating back to LSU camps. And Jets had a tough game. Now, some of that was Sam Darnold missing them. And then Justin Jefferson for the Vikings, 2017 recruit. And then, if you're from Baton Rouge, you know who this is. Zach Tom. Zach Tom was a really, really, really good offensive tackle at Wake Forest. He's been a really good offensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers. Okay? So what does that mean? Well, should we recruit more Louisiana 3-stars? No, I just think it was a somewhat fruitful year when it comes to Louisiana high school football recruiting. Alexander Darbone wants to know, what percentage of second down plays were runs? Yeah, one thing that's very interesting, Alexander, is LSU was one of the best third and long teams in college football. In fact, they were the best. Garrett Nussmeier was by far the best third and long quarterback in college football this year. So there's an issue with that, right? That means we were not only bad on first down, we were bad at second down as well. That contributed to low PFF grades, which is a great play-by-play basis grade. Contributes to our low success rate. So, our second down play calling wasn't great either. And that's because our first down play calling wasn't great. So, there you go. Now, great live stream. Shout out to Blanche. By the way, I normally mail my stuff out pretty quickly that I give out. I'm having second thoughts sending this hat to Jared Addison. I don't think it's happening. I don't think it's happening, bro. I do not think it's happening. The only reason I'm even sending it, well, I do love Jared a lot, but is that it doesn't fit my noggin, as you can tell. See, Jared is waiting for the hat so to match his shirt. That's going to be an epic combo. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Big shout out again to the Zion 360 Spin Booth Experience. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And tonight we are doing grass-fed steak. Let's go. Huh? Ah, ah.